Good, it sure is. Praise the name of Jesus. You can go to real quick, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. We're not going to stay there long, and I don't believe that this is going to be a one-night message. We'll see where we get to tonight. But there's a great responsibility that Christians need to be aware of. Amen? And we'll talk more about that. But let's pray and believe God for utterance and for boldness. Father, I humbly come before you tonight, so grateful, so thankful for the opportunity to be able to share your word with your precious children, Father, people that are sold out to you that would come out on a Wednesday night, Father, to hear your word when they have worked all day. Maybe there's work to go back to when they get home, or work to go to first thing in the morning or tomorrow at some point, but they're here. So, Father, you honor hunger. Lord, you bless where hunger is. And so, Father, we thank you tonight. We'll walk out of here blessed and satisfied. So, Lord, help us. Help me, Lord. We're not here because of me or because of my ideas or philosophies or education or opinions. We're here to hear from heaven. And so, Lord, speak through me tonight. And I just declare that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Lord, like the psalmist of old said, you're going to fill my mouth like the tongue, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. So, Father, I thank you. When I open my mouth, you're going to fill it with words from heaven, and it's going to hit bullseyes in our hearts, and we're going to walk out of here changed, because that's how you do things. And we thank you for it. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Matthew 6 and verse 33, very familiar verse. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Now, even if there was no other part of that verse, that should be enough. Amen. Because that's what he wants. Amen? But it says to seek first the kingdom, so it tells you what the order ought to be in your life. And, you know, a lot of people, they like to do things in a different order, and unfortunately, when you're out of order, things don't work as well, right? You know my story of the time when I can't remember what I got out of the vending machine, but the thing was out of order because the little spirally thing, it went to serve my thing and it stuck on the end there. And it didn't drop down in, so I'm shaking and trying to find where the hidden cameras are because I don't want to look too bad. You don't hide my face when I'm doing this, and I'm shaking it. And it's kind of sticking out, so I think I'm going to get the thing that's above it. I'm going to order that, and it's going to drop down and knock that thing out, and we'll be all right. Well, then that one stuck. So the machine was out of order, and it led to frustration. Well, that's the way a lot of people's lives are. It leads to frustration. God tells you right here, and he tells you the blessing of it. He says, "And his righteousness and all these things shall be added to you." And if you look the previous verses before, of course, it's talking about the things you need in life. And so if we want things to work out right, God's first. Amen? Amen. But with a message like tonight, you know, it says, "Seek the kingdom." This won't mean much to people who are not interested in God's kingdom. And I hate to break the news to you, but there are a lot of Christians who are heaven bound who aren't that concerned about the kingdom's business. I'm not trying to be a downer or just paint a broad stroke, you know, or just throw a big blanket over this service of generalizations, but it's true. A lot of people are not interested in God's kingdom first. A lot of people are interested in their kingdom first. And they'll use the word, and they'll use the word of faith to, how can I get more for me? How can I line my pockets? How can I advance my interests? When, number one, first and foremost, we should be about the Father's business. Amen. And so I know I'm amongst a good group of people here tonight, and I'm preaching to the choir when I say this, but I want to show you real quick. Go to Luke 2 and verse 49, because what I want to share with you tonight, if you don't first have a kingdom mentality, it won't matter. It won't matter what I say. It won't matter how serious of a topic it is. If you're not interested in the kingdom and you're only thinking, how can I get my needs met? How can I get my body healed? How can I get my life to advance and to look like abundant life? Then this message won't mean much to you. But that's a sad way to live life. That's an empty way to live life. But Luke chapter 2, in verse 49, I want to show you something about Jesus. "And Jesus said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not, or did you not know, that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus says right here, the business that he's about on the earth, the number one thing is not to make sure that all his needs are met, not to make sure that his body's completely healed, not to make sure, and again, these things belong to us. Don't misunderstand me. Your needs being met and your body being healed belong to you. But we don't seek those things. He said, I'm not here to advance my cause personally, you know, in the sense that what I like and what the way I'm geared and the way, my tastes and things are. He says, I'm here for the Father's business. And in John chapter 5 and verse 19, it reiterates along the same lines of what Jesus was saying, why he was here. And there's a reason I'm sharing this with you. It says in John chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, or the Father does, the Son does likewise. So Jesus is not only saying, I'm here to do the Father's business, he says, I'm only going to do what I see Dad doing. What's Dad doing? Dad's business. Praise God. It goes on in verse 30, and it says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will. So Jesus already told us, I'm here to do the Father's business. I'm doing what I see him doing. And he says, I am here not for my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So he said, my first and foremost, my purpose here on the earth is the Father's business and doing the will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing. And we look at Jesus' life, and we see he was doing kingdom business, wasn't he? He was, well, Luke 4:18 was really the job description or the resume of Jesus, where he went about what? Preaching the gospel, right? Healing them, setting the captives free, healing the brokenhearted, recovering sight to the blind. What was he doing? Kingdom business. What? Going around and bringing joy, bringing peace, bringing victory to people, because that's what God wanted him to do. So we see what Jesus was doing. He was doing work of the ministry, wasn't he? Amen. Well, here's the thing. The Bible says something interesting about him in Hebrews 13. Do we still believe that Jesus is alive and well? Yeah. The Bible says he's the same yesterday. What was yesterday? What we read about? Today, which is our nows, and forever, which is our tomorrows, that he's the same. So Jesus' will, or Jesus' purpose, or Jesus' desire has not changed because he's no longer on the earth anymore. He's always the same. Jesus' desire is always the kingdom's business first. But it's going to be carried out now a little different, because how many of you know, just because he left the earth and went to heaven, there's still things needed to be done on the earth. Or I could say it this way, God's kingdom business still needs to take place on the earth. There are still just as unsaved people now as they were as unsaved back then. Amen? Still people on their way to hell. Still people that were sick back then. There's still people sick now who are broken down in their bodies, broken down in their minds, broken down in their finances, broken down in their family, broken down spiritually. Those people existed in Jesus' time. That's why he was doing the Father's business, to deliver them from that. But there's those same people now. And God certainly doesn't look on the people that were hurting back then and say, I care more about them as I do now. No. God cares about the whole world. Cares about all people of all times. So what am I saying? Well, if Jesus is the same and he went about doing kingdom business, he's still doing kingdom business, but it's going to take place in a different way now. And let me show you what I mean. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. Says, and has put all things under the feet of Jesus. Now notice this. And gave him, Jesus, to be the head. Over, now when it says the head, it's not just talking about him being in charge. It's not just talking about him being the boss or the master. It's actually talking about a body, a part of a body. And it's saying that Jesus is in this, whatever this body is, which we know what it is the head of the body. Well, if he's the head of the body, it says, over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So the Bible says that Jesus is the head and we are the body. Why? Because we're the church. Amen. So it's now for the kingdom business to go forward and to take place. It now is going to come still through Jesus, but in a different format, with Him being the head and us being the body, or carrying out the head's commands or the head's desires or the head's wishes. Amen? Amen. Do you see that? Now, here's what we're talking about. And I'm going to show you some things to show you how vital and dire it is when we don't do this. But if we see Jesus on the earth, the physical body of Christ Himself on the earth, He went around, and we study in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we look at what He did. He helped humanity. He brought change to humanity. He brought deliverance to humanity. He brought hope to humanity. If you take Jesus out of the Bible, out of those times, there's going to be a lot of people in that time period that went without, that were delivered from something that would still have been stuck in it, or experiencing things that they should have had victory over that they didn't no longer have victory over, and were under the thumb of that thing and that bondage their whole life. Well, here's the thing. Jesus still wants to help humanity. He still wants to deliver humanity. He still wants to bring victory to humanity. He still wants to hope and pull people out of bondage and chains from humanity and the things that we're under here on this earth. But for that to take place now, it's going to come through His body, because it came through His body when He was on the earth. It came through His body, but now He's not here anymore, and He's only the head, and we're the body. And so for the hope to humanity, change for humanity, deliverance for people, it's going to come through the body of Christ, or it's going to come through the church. Amen. If Jesus would have sat on His duff and done nothing in those 3.5 years, or you could say the 33 and a half years that He was alive, but 3.5 was ministry. If He would have sat around and did nothing, not realized the importance, not realized His call, not realized His hope or His help for people, there would have been a lot of people that were hurting that shouldn't have been. Same thing today. There are people that we read about in the Bible that encountered the physical Jesus and their life changed forever. We preach about these people. The woman that had the daughter grievously vexed to the devil encountered Jesus and something changed. The woman with the issue of blood would have stayed that way had she not encountered Jesus that day. Right? How about blind Bartimaeus, or all these people, the person with the withered hand, the people with leprosy, all these people that encountered, people that had devils cast out of them, were only set free because the literal body of Christ did something. Now we are the body of Christ. And if we don't do something, people, Jesus is not coming off the throne to walk the earth anymore. God is not coming off of His throne to do this anymore. He's expecting His body to get it done. Amen. And let me just say it this way. For this to be walked out, for you to come to a recognition and a realization of who you are and your role, there will need to be a submission and a consecration that takes place. A what? A seek ye first mentality. That's why I said, if you're not interested in the kingdom, because what is the kingdom? The kingdom is bringing hope. The kingdom is bringing deliverance. The kingdom is setting the captives free and helping people. That is what the kingdom does. Hallelujah. It saves people. It frees people. It heals people. It helps humanity. If you're not interested in the kingdom, you won't submit to this. Because to be like Jesus, Jesus had to consecrate. Jesus had to submit, or not His will, but the Father's will. And the result of that was humanity was helped. Amen. Amen. We see that even in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Father, not my will, but your will. Well, what was the will He's talking about? Only delivering all of mankind for the rest of eternity. But for that to happen, he had to lay down or submit. Well, there's people in your lives, people that you're going to encounter, people that are in your walks of life, your sphere of influence, that need to be set free, that need a touch from heaven, that need to experience the kingdom of God. And if the body of Christ doesn't do it, the same way if Jesus wouldn't have done it back then, nobody would have experienced God. You know how they got to experience God? Because Jesus showed up. How are people going to experience God? When we show up. But there's first going to have to be a consecration to this, a submission to this. And I believe this, that a submission and a consecration will not first come without a revelation of how much it's needed. When someone realizes the need for something and how dire it is, then they'll submit to doing whatever it takes to carry that out. For example, I have a family member that has bad kidneys and on dialysis and has had kidney transplants and things, and they are on dialysis. Well, those dialysis treatments are not convenient. You got to stop your life. You got to plug into a machine. You got to stop a drill. You might have to wake up from a nap. You might have to wake up in the middle of the night. You might have to be in a store and go off to the side and do that. But they've come to a revelation and a realization. If I don't do this, I'm going to get sick and die. So guess what? Because I don't want to be sick and die, I'm going to go through what it takes. Amen? Or maybe you're suffering with something in your body and you know there's just something that a food or something that causes you to be violently sick or in pain. When you come to the realization, hey, I don't want that pain anymore, you'll submit to the change that's needed. So we need to see, if we're going to be the body, help humanity like Jesus did, we need to have a revelation that if we don't do this, it won't get done. I know that mentality creeps into the body of Christ that whatever God's going to do, God's going to do, and it'll just get done. Somebody else will do it, but that's just not what the Bible teaches. What if Jesus would have said, well, if God wants to do it, God's going to do it, and God would have said, you're how I'm trying to do this. Well, someone else will do it, and God's looking down at you and said, you're the hands and the feet. You're how I'm trying to do something down here. Praise God. I had a cousin, his name was Darren Carlson. He died 2008 on Christmas morning. I got a phone call. He was 24 years old. And he died from the disease called muscular dystrophy, or MD for short, you know. And the good news is that cousin I always talk about from the Jamestown Church, I call her Bear, her name's Sarah. We led him to Jesus shortly before he died. Amen. So he's in heaven. Praise God. Full, you know, I'm shocked, you know, he's a Dolphin fan, but I think he still got in. He loved the Miami Dolphins, and are you a Dolphin fan? I thought he was praising God back there. I thought Mark all of a sudden had a realization that God's going to let him in, you know? But he's in heaven, you know, and he got born again. It was wonderful, but when he was a young boy, he was diagnosed with this, and as he grew up, his body got weaker and weaker. With this disease, his mind stayed fine. He was sharp, and his wits were about him, and he was all there mentally, but his body wouldn't respond to what he wanted. So his head had ideas. Hey, arm, do this, but the arm wasn't working. And it was a sad thing to watch. But what I want to point out to you is that in his disease, his head was completely fine. Spiritually speaking, the head of the body of Christ is perfect. Perfect. I mean, absolutely perfect. It's Jesus. Amen? And his body, Darren's body, wanted his body to do things. He loved hunting, and that got taken away from him, you know, at the end of his life, and things he wanted to do got, even though his head wanted to do it, his head had a desire to do it. Because his body wouldn't cooperate, didn't matter how much the head wanted to do it. Well, we already know what the head wants to do spiritually. The head wants to save people. The head wants to heal people. The head wants to deliver people. The head wants to proclaim and preach the gospel and get people to lay hands on the sick. But it doesn't matter how much the head wants it. And you know what? Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, the body of Christ suffers with that same disease. where the head is all there. The head has desires. The head is perfect. The head knows what it wants. But the body doesn't cooperate with the head. And it goes without. We can't have the body suffer, the body of Christ suffer with a disease like that. Why? Because people will go without. Isn't it amazing? Go with me real quick to Acts chapter 1. I want to show you even what we talked about Sunday. Remember we talked about Sunday about receiving power, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And praying in other tongues. We talked about that. But look at what he says here in verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Concerning the Holy Ghost. And I'm bringing this up because we just looked at it on Sunday. It's fresh in our hearts and minds. It should be. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What's that? Dynamite, miracle, working power. Remember we said God doesn't want you going forth. You know, what's our environment? Our environment's not pretty, naturally. What's our environment? We are in a world run by the devil. Not only are we in a world run by the devil, we're in a world where the Bible says that the devil's got a target on us. That he's our adversary, our opponent. And he steals, kills, and destroys, and he influences people, and he launches darts at our mind. And so the environment that we live in, naturally and even spiritually, it's not the prettiest environment. So God is saying to us, don't go forth without power. You need power. Why? Because the devil is a spiritual, supernatural being. You can't beat him in the natural. But when you get the spiritual, dynamic, miracle-working Holy Ghost, you can overcome him, praise God. But here's what I want you to see about even the Holy Ghost. Look at what the first thing he says about the gift of the Holy Ghost. He says, when that gift comes upon you, you receive power for the purpose so that you could live a rich life, so that you could be healed in your body, so that you could be happy every day, so that your love walk would thrive. No, those are all will be results of being full of power. But look what he says, I need to get you this power because you have to be witnesses to me. Amen. In Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, guess what the uttermost parts of the earth are? South Dayton, yeah. Fredonia, Forestville, Cherry Creek, Cattaraugus, Olean, Lakewood, Jamestown, Falconer. All these places are the uttermost parts of the earth. He says, you need to go out and yank people out of the throes and the grip of the enemy. And you can't do this without power. So I'm giving you power first and foremost to enable you to go forth and be my body. Why? Because if he was here, he'd be witness of himself. He'd go forth and proclaim who he was. Didn't he do that when he was on the earth? He sure did. What did he say? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What was he doing? Witnessing about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He just announced it in the temple, didn't he? Because he has anointed me to proclaim the gospel, set at liberty them that are bruised, right? Heal the brokenhearted, set captives free, deliver them. What's he doing? Witnessing of himself. He says, we need power to send you forth. Go to Mark 16 real quick. Mark chapter 16. Remember we talked about a few weeks ago that Jesus gave us the power of attorney to use his name? What's that mean? We can go out and act based on what's in his account. Remember I'm a power of attorney of my dad? And I can go write checks that have my dad's name on them and I can sign them. And I might not have the money in my account, but I can sign them based on his account and just write POA on there. And if they ask, I can show them those legal paperwork from the lawyers. And I can act on behalf of my dad and spend money based on what's in his account, not what's in my account. And Jesus said, you can use my name and go forth and act on my behalf. That's why when we lay hands on the sick or cast devils out, we're not doing it on our own power. We're doing it based on what's in his account. And I see in the word that he went about healing people, delivering people. So he's got those things in his account. And so when he says here in verse 17, Mark 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So we already know he gave us the name to use in John 16. He says, in my name they'll cast out devils. What's he saying? In my name I'm giving the body or the church power to go forth and do something. Amen. What does it say at the end of verse 18. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What's he saying? I'm not here anymore, so I'm giving you my name, not just so you can be blessed. We know its purpose is for us. We can use it to be blessed. So whatsoever we ask in the Father's name, we know, in Jesus' name, we know we have. It is benefit us. But he's interested not in just us. He's interested in us going forward and being the body. Now, again, if the kingdom doesn't matter to you, if setting people free and delivering them is not a priority to you, then this will be a message. You'll be like, I just wish he'd talk about faith tonight. I wish he'd talk about prosperity tonight. I know we don't have anybody here, but I'm saying people that don't have a kingdom first mentality, oh, I sure wish he'd speak about healing. I sure need him to talk about how to raise my kids tonight, and he's talking about this. You're missing it, if you're thinking that way. Because he said if you'll seek first, those things that you're lacking will be added to you. Amen. It's true. I've come to find out this, that I stopped seeking the stuff, started seeking him, and the stuff started following. Amen. It did. Shocking. The word worked. It's amazing. Amen. But there's got to be a consecration to this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here to tell you, the world is hurting. The world is in bondage. The world is in fear and desperation. You know, I think about my own life. Do you know from the time I got saved, it was January 10th, 2002, a short Italian guy by the name of Randy Nelbone. He's kind of a funny guy. He'd get around him. He's got some good jokes and stuff. But up until January 10th, 2002, when I got saved, I wrote in the book that I wrote the testimonies of my life and what I was mixed up in and what I was involved in and what was holding me back and hurting me. How many of you know that God's plan for my life was not to suffer that way? Was not to experience the hurt, the heartache, the sadness that I want. That's not God's plan for anybody on the earth. He wants everybody to receive Jesus and then walk into abundant life. But isn't it amazing that even though that God wanted me delivered, how do we know he wanted me delivered? We know because he sent Jesus to die for me. Even though God would be in heaven saying, this is not my plan for Mike Anderson. I don't want him to suffer. It's unnecessary. Notice that the suffering, the heartache, the strongholds, the addictions, all the things, none of it stopped until a Christian actually became the hands and the feet and reached out to me, humanity that was hurting, and did something, acted like Jesus, by the way, showed me love, showed me generosity, showed me encouragement, wasn't judgmental. And you'd be surprised, but you wouldn't believe the mouth I used to have on me. I know that comes as a bit of a surprise to some of you, but it's true. I mean, I used to have cussing contests with friends to just see how many we could get out there and how fast we could get them out. I'm just telling you, living like a heathen. Amen. And so I'm living that, experiencing all that, and going through all that. But until somebody acted like the body of Christ, I didn't get pulled out of that hurt, out of that pain, out of that suffering, until he acted like Jesus. What would have happened? Because that whole baseball team was filled with heathens. He was the only light on that team. What if he would have said, nah, someone else will do it? Well, up until that point, nobody else had done it for me. And I had lived a lot of days on the earth, hurting. What if he had said, how many people are hurting in our lives? I don't just mean witness to them for salvation. I mean laying hands on them. That would show them God, you know, cast the devils out of them, speaking the word, inviting them to church, you know, being Jesus. How many people are going without because we're just like, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will be Jesus. Well, we've proven that if Jesus wasn't Jesus, there would have been a lot of people hurting. We're Jesus now. We're his body. Now, we're not him, you understand what I mean, but we're his body. We're to operate on this earth like he did. Yeah, and if we don't, but you got to consecrate to this. Go to 1 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. You know, I guess maybe it'd be a little tougher if you grew up since you were little, you know, in a Christian home, and that's the best way to grow up, by the way. I'm glad my kids will never experience the heartaches that I went through, you know, and we just get their mind renewed to the world's hurting, and that not everybody in the world grew up like you did. But it's easy for me to understand that there's a humanity that's hurting because I used to be a part of their team. I used to be in their circles, you know, and hurting and depressed and just chained to things that the devil would want me to. So I get it. I understand it. I'm just going to tell you what I do. I'm not bragging on myself, but to let you know how much I honor. Every time I hang around Reverend Randy a lot. We hunt a lot together. He's been so generous with his property with me. Anytime we go out to eat, I always try to buy his meal. Not because he expects it, but because I want to honor. On January 10th, I always send him a text thanking him for what he did for me. Amen? I go out of my way to bless him and Karini. They were so good to me when I first got born again. Just to let them know, because I know that was the pivotal point in my life where everything changed. I mean, I was as miserable and sad and depressed as they come. I mean, I'm talking just in dark rooms for hours, and the thoughts and the torment. And Jesus came in and set me free, but Jesus came through his body. And so I get it. I understand. And so maybe it's harder for people that don't grow up that way or experience those things. But regardless, if you have or haven't, we need to renew our mind that there's a world that needs us, that's waiting for us. People in school with us, people in jobs, people in our family, just waiting on somebody to be Christ. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Well, you're the body of Christ. Well, where does the body get the orders from? The orders come from the head, right? You know, my head brain sends signals. So I don't know how it all works, but if I want to get a drink of water, my brain tells my legs to walk over there, right? Tells my arms, pick it up, tells my hands. I don't know how it all works, but it all comes from up here. Well, we know what the head's purpose is. Go save humanity. Go deliver people. Hallelujah. Go with me to Luke 4:18 real quick, just because I need to show you. You're the body of Christ. His purpose hasn't changed. Well, what was Jesus' ministry? Well, Luke 4:18. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Did Jesus do that on the earth? Yes, he did. Does the Bible say he's still the same? Yes, he is. Are there still people on the earth that need the gospel preached to them? Yes. Are there still people that are brokenhearted? Are there still people that need deliverance? Are there still people that need health? And are there still people that need to be set free? Absolutely. Well, Jesus knew that those needs were out there. So what did he do? He went out and met those needs. Well, those needs are still here on the earth. But he's not. The head is. We know what the desire of the head would be. The desire of the head would be this verse. Healing, setting free, delivering, recovering of sight. All these things. Preaching the gospel. That's what the head wants to do. But the body has to submit to it. My brain can send signals all day long that I'm thirsty, go get water. But if my legs say, nope, I'm staying here, I ain't going to get a drink. My legs can take me over, then all of a sudden, my arms can say, nope, I'm just going to keep my arms at my side, I'm not going to get a drink. No matter how much the head wants it. You got to submit and consecrate. Go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Says, don't you know, or what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. Now, this is what I want to focus on. And you are not your own. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God. Glorify God. What's that? Be kingdom-minded. It's not just talking about living a holy life, although that's, you know, talking about fleeing wrong things, yes. But glorifying God would be also doing in your body what God wants you to do with your body, which would be go. Go. Amen? Amen. Glorify God, which is in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Go to Galatians 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul said this, he said, I, the me, the Paul, am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I still live. Yet not me, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, we look at Paul's life, he wasn't out doing his own thing. Was he? When he says, I'm still alive, but not me, Christ is living in me, what's he saying? Christ is operating through me. Christ needs to operate through each and every one of us for his will and his plan to go forth on the earth, which in turn results in humanity being delivered. I don't know about you, but why do I exalt Reverend Randy at times and bless him and go out of my way and still to this day do it and send him the text thanking him and random text thanking him? Because I know what it's like to be hurting part of humanity. The world needs us. Just like the world needed Jesus, the world needs us. Amen. Got to get your mind renewed to this. So, I'm only going to preach for a few more minutes because I don't want to get into the whole thing here. That was just a kind of an introduction. But we need to first get a consecration to this, even before we even go forward in everything. We have to settle it in ourselves. We're not our own. You know, this verse, I don't have it in this Bible, but this verse tells us that when we're Christ, we are dead to ourselves. Christ should live through us. And I have in my old Bible, a dead man has no wishes. That's what I have written there to remind myself. It's not about me. It's not about what I want to do. If it was about me and what I want to do, I wouldn't be here right now. I mean, as a pastor, that's not what I wanted to do. For real. I'm telling you the truth. It's not. If you want to know what Mike Anderson's flesh would like to do, would have been to buy a farm in Iowa, plant food plots for the rest of my life, and just grow the biggest deer there are, and hunt and make a living doing that. I'm just telling you the truth. But that's not what he wanted. And a dead man has no wishes. If Christ lives in me, what do you want, Jesus? Oh, you want me to talk to that person? I remember driving down to your parents' house years ago, and we're driving separate, you know, and you were ahead of me or something, and all of a sudden I disappeared, wasn't there anymore. I was driving by, and there was a gentleman at a gas station, and my heart just went out to him by the way he looked. I had compassion on him because I knew life is hard for that guy. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I said, send somebody to talk to him, and that's a good prayer. Send laborers. That's a good prayer. But the Holy Ghost one-upped me, and he said, you turn around and go talk to him. I didn't want to turn around and go talk to him. I don't know this guy. He's working. I don't want to offend him. Hell, poverty, sickness, depression, and fear are more offensive than you reaching out to people. And I know people do get offended, but that didn't stop Jesus. And we're him now. You don't think he went places he knew he wasn't wanted? But he went there. Why? Because humanity needed him to be there. And the ones that welcomed him and received were blessed by it. So I was driving by, I saw that gentleman. I said, Lord, send somebody to help him and talk to him. And it came clear up in my heart. No, you go talk to him. Man, I didn't want to do it. And I drove a few more miles and that just kept weighing on me. Well, Galatians 2:20 now, let's see where the rubber meets the road. Does Christ live through me, or does Mike Anderson do what Mike Anderson wants to do? Amen. You know, there are certain things I like to eat on preaching days, and there are certain things I like to do with my time and stuff, but if Christ lives through me, I do what he wants me to do. I consecrate myself. Same, oh, you want me to go talk to that person, Lord? Oh, you want me to sow that seed? Oh, you want me to serve in this place in the church? Oh, you want me to witness? Or you want me to lay hands? You know, someone in my office has been talking about their family member being sick. Oh, you want me to do that? Well, you won't do that if you're not submitted to this. Until you have a revelation, and have I fully arrived? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you what, I'm more submitted and sold out now than I was. You know why? Because we should get less carnal as we grow in him. And you won't do this, and you won't care about this until you're first submitted and say, Lord, not my will, your will. Humanity needs me. If you would realize how vital you are, how important you are, humanity needs you. Wow. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do greater works than these. Doesn't mean in individual acts that we would maybe do greater things in that sense. And I believe we can do signs, wonders, and miracles, absolutely. But we can do them in greater numbers. We can heal more people than he was able to. Because there's more of us, more of him running around. Get more people filled with the Holy Ghost. Of course, he didn't do that because it was after he died and rose again. But we can now, if he was just one person getting people filled with the Holy Ghost, if that was one of his ministries, you know, we could do it better now. Because there's more of us. Amen. He's one voice that can preach the gospel. We're how many voices that can preach and get this thing out here? Amen. If he's two sets of hands laying on the sick, how much more for all of us? It's the same humanity. They're just as hurt then as they are now. And you got to sell out to this. Praise God. So what I want to talk to you about, and I don't believe we're going to go there tonight because I don't want to start something. But I'm going to show you things in the next week for sure. And if we have to pick it up later on or on a Sunday, we will. We'll see what the Holy Ghost says. Maybe we can get it all in next week. I want to show you things as the body that we need to be doing. Amen. Things as the body that is clearly in the Word that is important, that if we don't do it, things will go undone. Amen? But your homework from now until then, of course, and you can look and follow, you can follow the Holy Ghost and have him tell you what to do, and you can see things in the Word that we saw already of how we're to be carrying things out. I have some specific things that we'll look at. But until then, we need to work on our consecration levels. Amen? Amen. So what I want to do in ending this service, I believe a good prayer to pray every day is a prayer of consecration. Lord, not my will today, but your will. What do you want me to do, Father? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to lay hands on? Amen? Who's going to do it if you don't? If Reverend Randy wouldn't have, would Pastor Mike Anderson be up here with the church? I don't know. Good chance not. Amen? Good chance not. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, we are the body of Christ. We are the hands and we are the feet. We are the ones that go forth and carry out the help to humanity. It's not you doing it anymore. Now, you're giving the orders and you're working in us. Yes, you're not on the sidelines. That's not what I mean. But we're the doers now. We're the hands. We're the feet. We're the goers. And Father, I know that I've been a recipient of the body being the body and letting Jesus work through the body. And I've been a recipient of that. And I'm so grateful and thankful that somebody and Lord, I was around Christians. That's the sad thing. I was around Christians that didn't act like Jesus, and I went unhelped. But when I got around a Christian who took this seriously, I was saved and I was changed. Lord, how many people in our lives need to be saved and changed and set free and delivered and healed and chains and captivity busted off of them if we would just act like Jesus. So, Father, I pray for each and every person here that they would get a revelation of their part and their importance, that if they don't, it won't. And when I say it won't, I mean the kingdom. It won't go forward. It won't take place on the earth if we don't, because we are the body. We are the ones that carry it forth. So I pray everybody would get a revelation of that, Father. And Lord, right now we're gonna consecrate. Now don't say it if you don't mean it. But right now, let's just go ahead and let's just worship Him, and let's start afresh here tonight. Of consecration, of Lord, we're tired of doing it our way. Lord, we're here to seek first the kingdom. We want your plan, your purposes carried out. So let's just go ahead and worship Him, and then after, let's just pray in tongues for a little bit. We're all believers here tonight, and we all know about that, you know. And if you want to receive the Holy Ghost, you're more than welcome to always come forward and ask me to pray with you. Father, we worship you tonight. Just where you're at, just consecrate. Lord, I want what you want. I want what you want, Father. Lord, I want what you want. Lord, forgive me first and foremost for the times where it's been about me. For when I've tried to push my agenda or my desires or my plans, my wants, my things. And I'm just consecrating up here. You do your own thing when you're at in your seat. But this is your time to lay it out for Him. Lord, forgive me for those times, because there's been those times. There's been selfish times. There's been doing my own thing, and it's not been right. So forgive me for those things and those times. Now, Father, I tell you, just like Jesus told you in the garden, Father, as much as is in me, I believe it. I believe that I'm saying what I'm saying is true now. Lord, not my will, but your will be done on this earth. Lord, it's not about what I want. It's not about what I think. It's not about what I should do. It's about what you want me to do. It's about what you think, what you want, what you think I should do. So, Father, I consecrate myself to you. And Lord, I say, your will be done. Not my will, but your will. I don't care how inconvenient it is. I don't care how backwards it might seem to my mind or my flesh. What do you want, Father? I thank you for it. Now, I worship you, Father. I praise you, Lord. I mean it from the bottom of my heart, Lord. Speak to me. Lord, if you need me to pray at 2:30 in the morning, wake me up. Lord, if you need me to go talk to somebody that's the meanest and nastiest person that just brings about fear, Lord, I'll do it. Lord, whatever you want. Lord, if you want me to lay hands on somebody in Walmart in front of a crowd, Lord, whatever you want, Father. Whatever you want, Lord. Interrupt my life. Interrupt my life, Lord. I'm sold out and submitted to you. Lord, I am interested in your kingdom. What do you want, Father? What do you want? So we worship you tonight, Father, and we praise you and magnify you. Thank you for the hearts here that are changing. Thank you for the lives that are making fresh dedications and fresh consecrations to you, and what that will mean for humanity, what that will mean for your creation when people start acting like you, when people start allowing you to move through them. Father, we thank you for all the people that will be changed, all the people that will be helped. And Lord, there'll be people in their lives that will come back and say, I'm so thankful they invited me in church. I'm so thankful they laid hands. I'm so thankful they blessed me financially. I'm so thankful that they told me about Jesus. And they'll testify the way that I testify about Reverend Randy and what he did in my life. So we thank you for the lives changed, the destinies that are overturned. We're not going to sit back and just wait for pastor to do it. We're not going to just sit back and wait for the TV preacher to do it. No, the TV preacher, the pastor may never get to your workplace, may never get to your shopping places, and they never get to your family get-togethers, may never get to the times that you've hang out with friends. You are the Jesus. You are the light of the world. You have what it takes, praise God. You've been given an anointing from Him to help and to change humanity. The greater one's on the inside of you. The very one that would heal and deliver and set free and restore is on the inside of you.